So this morning, we want to start by saying thank you. Thank you to every one of you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your encouragement. And thank you for your support. Do you know, we've all come through a hard 18 months. And I know for some of us, it's been the hardest seasons we've ever gone through. You may feel that we could, or maybe we should, have done more as leaders or as a church to love and care for people. You yourselves might feel overlooked. And if that is the case, then we want to say we're sorry. Andrew and I want to say that as leaders in this church, we have done our very best. And as we've looked after the whole church, their worship leaders, our kids team, our small group leaders, the Love Falkirk team, we have only seen people who have been trying to do their best. Everyone has faced their own struggles during this last year or so. People have had struggled with their mental health challenges. Some people have bereavements, job losses, furlough, homeschooling. And you know, we personally could tick quite a few of those boxes off as we are ministry, and so as a lot of our ministry leaders and all of you too. And yet, taking everything into account, what we have observed is people doing their very best. And we are so proud to belong to a church like this.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to cover 9 short points. So don't worry, that doesn't make it a long sermon. But if you want to keep track of how long we've got left to speak, you can just count them down in your fingers.
That's what it
is. I think
I wrote that bit in because I thought it was good, but he's...
Well, if I was there and somebody said 9 points, I'd be counting it down. So we want to share an encouragement with you as we start this new season, and we also want to pray together this morning as well. You know, there's a lot going on in the world just now, isn't there? We want to pray for our world, we want to pray for our town, and we want to pray for our church community as well. So we're going to leave some space at the end for that. And if you're online joining us, we are so glad that you're here. And if you're in the room, you are so welcome. We're so glad that you're here this morning. And if you're connected with our church family in any way, if you've been around for a long time, or this is your first time, whether you feel engaged with the church community just now, or maybe you feel disengaged, wherever you are on that spectrum, we just want to chat about a few things this morning, because this is like a new term, isn't it? It's like a new season, and it's a chance for us to come back and regather as God's people.
So, the very best way to describe this is, has anyone went camping this year? Or this? Yep. There's one in the room. Oh, a few. Yeah, I knew there'd be more. It's been the season of camping. Well, most of my holidays growing up involved towing a caravan. That's my type of camping. It's definitely not doing the tent thing, but there was sometimes we had a big family, so camping was a good way to get holidays. So I remember as a child getting things all packed up in the car. Everything was round. It was a small car. It wasn't like a estate car or anything. I wouldn't even class it as a family car that you can get these days. That was a few decades ago. Anyway, so everything was rammed in the boot, the back seat, including me. And we would drive, which felt like an eternity, a long time. And actually, it wasn't that far. But as a child, it felt like a long time. Are we going to be there yet? Are we there? So eventually, we would arrive at the campsite. And immediately, all I wanted to do was get out the car, go and explore, check things out, what was on that campsite, and start having fun. That is our holiday. But no, my mom and dad, they would not let that happen because we couldn't do anything until the whole car was emptied and everything was unpacked and we started to put the tent up. And everyone had their part to play. We all had to do something to put this tent up. And it wasn't like the fancy tents we get these days. Someone told me there's even a blow-up tent. Who knew there was such a thing? Did you know this?
I did not know.
Exactly. No, not in our day. I was like, everything had to be laid out. in a certain order, put together in a certain order. So everyone got involved, including me, even though I tried so hard to get out of it. And we would erect the frame and everyone would get involved, and then the adventure could begin. And you know, God has an adventure for us this morning as we set off into this new season. And we all need to be setting up the tent. These are all included. These all get to be part of that fun. So it's all hands on deck. And we need to do that together as we regather. So for the next few weeks as a church, we are going to be setting up the tent. And because we're family, we're all going to be involved in the process. I know what that's like. It's great. I love it when I'm the adult. Didn't like it so much when I was a child.
Yeah, I like what Mike Pilavachi said when everyone was asking the question, what kind of church are we going to be after coming out of lockdown? And he said, we want to be Jesus-centred, biblically based and spirit-led. Jesus-centred, biblically based and spirit-led. Now, if you were around, I think it was last year during lockdown, we spent a bit of time looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and we explored Jesus' actual words that he taught us and instructed us with. And you know, as I look back in that, I don't know if we really kind of planned it that way, but I guess what we were doing there was setting out a base where we were saying that we want to be completely Jesus-centred. We go to his words. What did he say? What did he instruct us? And when you become Jesus-centred, you become spirit-led, because Jesus and the Spirit are one. And as we look ahead over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring what new adventures God has in store for us at Falkirk Vineyard. And some of that we're going to frame around the book of Joshua. And we can see many parallels in Joshua's story with our story, where we are today. In Joshua's day, the community, the children of Israel, they had been sustained by God in a desert time. They were going through a wilderness, and we read story after story of God sustaining them. But they faced a moment of opportunity and challenge as they had the chance to move into the things that God had prepared for them. So although they were going through a desert, God was still working. He was still preparing for things, and they had an opportunity and a challenge as they had the chance to move into the things that God had prepared for them, stepping into their future. You might have heard me say recently that something along the lines of that we can't go back to the way things were. And we can't do that because too much has changed. But also that is because we never go back with Jesus. I find it interesting that God, the way God created human beings is that we're front-facing. Have you noticed that? As much as we would like it, we don't have eyes in the back of our head. We are forward-facing. We're designed to move forward. And I believe that in Jesus, our journey is always forward and that the best is always ahead of us. And we follow him and he leads us on. So when we look ahead, Jesus is always in front of us. That's, you know, we can't follow him if he's behind us. He's always in front of us. We follow him and he leads us on. So how are we being led on by Jesus?
But first, we have to acknowledge that there have been two realities. And the first one is this time has been increasingly tough. So let's just acknowledge that. For so many people, there have been losses and there have been challenges. You might feel disengaged. You might feel exhausted. You might feel disheartened. You might feel far from God. And that is a reality. You might feel confused as to what the future will look like. In fact, probably quite a lot of us feel that, in fact. But the second reality is that God is at work. Our God is present in these moments, and he is redeeming them. He is repurposing them if we let him, because it's inconceivable that our God would not redeem this moment. Do you know, we have been in a globally charismatic
cataclysmic.
What's a cataclysmic? I said that and I just said, that's a great one, write it down. And then when I was starting to read it, I thought, oh, I can't remember how to say that word. Event, a big, huge thing. It's even been on an international crisis. It's been horrible. There's been untold suffering for millions of people. But if God is who he says he is, and I believe he is, then he is working in this moment. And all the statistics have borne that out, haven't they? All over the world, we hear that people have been thinking about what really matters. There has been a greater openness to the gospel. There's been more people interested in church, more people asking questions, and more people turning to Jesus, more people coming to faith.
Yeah, so the story of Joshua actually speaks of those two realities that Lorraine mentioned there. It talks about an incredibly tough time that the children of Israel had endured, but also a moment of opportunity that God was at work in the middle of it all. And for them to step into what God required of them, or so to step in what God had for them, it required them to do three things. One was to prepare. One was to consecrate. We'll talk about that in a wee second. And one was to take action. And these three steps, that I think that these are like they kind of serve as a roadmap for our way forward. They're so helpful and they help us to understand about how we get from here to there. So just quickly, these three steps. The first one is preparation, or to get ready. Joshua 1 verse 10 says this: Joshua commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the river Jordan and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you. As I've said, the truth is that we couldn't pick up from where we left off in March of last year, even if we wanted to. So much work has already been done, and there's so much work still to do. We have to prepare, and we have to get ready for what God has ahead of us. And step two, Joshua's command was to consecrate ourselves, or to purify yourselves. Joshua 3 and 5 says that Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. If we want God to do great things, we have to consecrate ourselves. We have to purify ourselves. And for me, I believe that this is the most crucial step for all of us. It's a moment to clean off all the accumulated dust and debris of the desert that we've been through. And it's to help us to prepare ourselves before God for the next season. And this act of consecration, it's not something that we do collectively. We won't be having a consecration event. This is a deeply personal invitation. It's for every one of us. God says, consecrate yourselves, purify yourselves. And what that might mean for you, it might mean perhaps a time of prayer and fasting. It could be a time for putting relationships right. It might be a time for repentance and accountability. Perhaps it's a time for you to have a fresh devotion in your relationship with Jesus. And I would encourage you, please do that. Do that. Not as a group event. And we love doing things together, but there are things that are between us and God personally. And ask yourself the question, what is it that Jesus wants me to do in my life? So prepare, consecrate yourselves, and step three is to take action. In this case, the act is to move. Joshua 3 verse 2 says that 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your position and follow them. And since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. The point to notice here is that the instruction is to start moving. Nothing is going to happen if we stand still. And in this moment for the children of Israel, they're going to cross a river, and the river's in full flood, and it looks like an impossible journey, and there's no way through. But they start moving anyway. They start moving when there's nowhere to move to, just trusting that the Lord is going to make a way. And the truth is for us that when we were looking to regather on Sunday mornings, there were very few options for places where we could meet together on a Sunday morning. The schools were gone. There was no chance of getting into the schools. There was a lot of limitations in community centres, as we're finding here. Industrial units we looked at, we were just priced out of the market. And we even looked for empty church buildings, of which, well, thank God, we couldn't find one, so, or not one that was available. But this place was available. This place was available, so we took it and we moved, trusting that God will guide us into where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do.
So, coming back to my illustration earlier, it's time to unpack the tent and get the base camp up and running. Why, I hear you ask? Good question. Why do we want to do that? Why don't we just sit at home watching TV on our iPads and our pyjamas with our bowl of cereal, bit of toast, cup of tea? Why is a gathered church so important? Well, let's move on to our 9 points. That was just an introduction. Let's move on to the 9 points of why we think gathering together as church is so important. One, it's time for us to welcome new brothers and sisters. So many people over this time have come to meet Jesus. So many people have found our church and joined our church or moved to Falkirk. Great place to move. Good choice during the pandemic. And it's just been so much fun. We've really enjoyed getting to know new people, meeting them for coffee and hearing their story and how they come to Falkirk or even how they found Falkirk Vineyard. And it's just been lovely welcoming everyone. And Jesus is calling every single one of us to be part of his welcome team. So we're all on the welcome team. Didn't know you signed up for that. We are all on Jesus' welcome team. And for you at home, we would love you to come when you're able and be part of that welcome team too. So we'll keep my space for you. So don't you worry, there is still room for you.
Okay, number two, the gathered church is an open space for the good news of Jesus. The gathered church is an open space for the good news of Jesus. That's what it is. When we meet together like this, the doors are open. There is space for people to come in, meet the people of God, meet Jesus, and hear his good news. We have met and connected with so many people through Love Falkirk, through our online services and our other online gatherings and also our in-person services. But actually, what we find is that most people that are having a conversation or questions around the fact, what has actually just happened? Like, what is it that we've gone through? And this has been, as we've already said, just an incredibly challenging last 18 months, and it's causing some people to ask questions. So we want to create space and moments where people can come and encounter Jesus and follow him. And if you've been fortunate enough to have really good broadband and unlimited data and great devices, then it's been fine. It's been straightforward to connect with church. But there has been a digital divide in our society. We've seen that in education, haven't we? If you've had that, who reverted to homeschooling during this time? Okay. I know, like I was around at Ryan and Nikki's a couple of weeks ago, and the kids are back at school and they were still doing stuff online. I was like, I'm glad my kids are grown up. But we've seen that divide in education, but there's also been a digital divide in church. And we don't want to disadvantage anybody. We want the church to be open for everyone. So we have a front door that is open. And a front door open to all is an open door for the gospel that is open to everyone. It's important that we have a physical entry point for people to come and hear the good news of Jesus. And it's important that we gather.
What step am I on now? Well done. Some people are listening. Tell the school teachers are in the room. So point three is the gathered church is a foretaste of heaven. Do you know, for much of this year, when restrictions have been so limiting, and when we've been allowed to, we meet up with maybe one other person outside. Remember those days, and it was freezing cold. And then all of them would be limited to a social bubble with just maybe a few people, the ones that maybe were closest to us. And mainly, we've stayed in our own little friendship bubbles. But in heaven, I'm going to be mixing with people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation, because it tells us that in Revelation. The church is supposed to be a foretaste of heaven. There is nowhere else on the face of the earth where you can rub shoulders with so many different people from different races, different nationalities, different walks of life, different jobs, different ages. And you know, we love it, don't we? We love it when we all come together for one purpose. Church mixes people up like nowhere else. And we get to express and taste the culture of heaven here on earth as we learn to love one another, to honour one another from different backgrounds, different experiences and different cultures. And we can't do that if we're not all in the same room with one another. Our shared stories of Jesus is greater than our different backgrounds. Our shared stories of Jesus is greater than our different backgrounds. Jesus is making all things new, including this family.
So good. Number four, we encounter God as we worship together. Don't you just love it this morning? Live worship, hearing your voices. I stopped singing for a bit this morning just to, I don't know, just absorb like the beauty of your voices. I bet some of you have never heard that before. But it's just so sweet. It's just so good to be back singing together. And there's something precious about us making a choice to pray and seek God on our own at home, and that's wonderful. And we pray for the presence of God for those who are watching this online. But there's something more special about us being together as his people. It says in the scriptures that God inhabits the praises of his people. And somehow when we make a choice to prioritize gathering and being together in worship, Jesus turns up. Jesus turns up. He comes by his Spirit and does things as we make ourselves present to him. And we love that. We just love that. And it's important that we create spaces as we gather where he can move and do what he wants to do. Jesus said this in Matthew 18, when two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. That's amazing, isn't it? And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there.
Next point is the gifts of the Holy Spirit are moving and active and in operation when we are gathered together. Now, I don't know how God does it. Holy Spirit is amazing. Even on all the digital and all the different screens, God still showed up and the Holy Spirit was still there. And it's been wonderful to hear people having experienced God moving when they've been watching church online and in the Zoom calls. And it's been amazing to see and hear people being healed and experiencing special moments when they have met with God's grace. I mean, that is amazing. Fantastic. There's so much more God wants to do. And when we're online on Zoom, we've tried to make room for people to give and receive prophetic words, and we've learned a lot along the way, and we're so thankful for that, and we'll take that with us. But when we are together like this, it's just easier to discern and see what the Holy Spirit is doing and to bless what the Father God wants to do. Like in that time after worship, you know, the Holy Spirit was here. You could see him on people. And so, Caitlin, I just want to highlight you that when we're doing that wee bit of ministry time, the Holy Spirit was on you. So whatever you were feeling in that moment, know that that was God speaking to you. That whatever you felt in your body, that's how you receive the Holy Spirit. So when you're out, not in a church setting, when that feeling comes, know that God's doing something in your life, maybe to speak to someone or to share something. So just, yeah, it was beautiful to see. That's one of the privileges we get standing up here sometimes in ministry time, because we can see what God is doing, and like, we get the privilege of calling it out. So it's fantastic. But you can't do that on Zoom, or not as easy. It's harder to see all the screens. So that's why we come together. The gifts of the Spirit extend God's kingdom and they build up His church. And they're so much easier to express when we are together. When we see what God is doing over here, we just can point it out so people know that's what's happening. Or we say, look over here, look what God's doing. There's maybe healing here. Okay, God wants to heal over here. Has anybody got any issues here? We can just point it out so much easier in person. And that's what we long to do, isn't it? That's what we miss so much. We long to see the expression. We long to see that. We long to see that expressed in the life of our church, week in, week out. And we really can only do that when we're gathered together. Got their names.
One of my favourite things about Lorraine is that we type up the bits that are the kind of key things we need to land, and we try and do it as clearly, as simply as possible. And when it comes to the event, she can't even read it. So much fun.
I always don't want to make sure whether they're written or not.
Okay, number six, we're almost there. We are a village for our children and young people. We love our children and our young people. And as you'd heard last week, we are prioritising our kids' ministry in these first weeks of returning to church. Like, you've heard the proverb, haven't you? It takes a village to raise a child. I think it's an African proverb. And it's fantastic because, as we've already mentioned, it's been really hard. You know, for parents, you've no doubt found it a little bit of a stretch to suddenly become a teacher. And it's been hard for kids and young people because there's just been so many challenges. And I think that for our children and our young people, there has been a loss in them not having this extended community. And as we regather, we can commune again. We can be together and actually encourage and strengthen families by being present as the church. I look around church, I look around you guys today, and I love seeing people with different ages, different life stages all coming together in one place. People who are single, people married, people who are divorced, people who have kids, people who have no kids. People who have no kids but take an interest in the children and young people who are not in their immediate family. And I guess, you know, church is a big family. That's what we are. And we function in some ways by serving on teams. But we also do it just by being interested and by being present. So I want to encourage you, as you see the kids, and you've probably heard that there are children here this morning. We just love them. But what I'd encourage you to do is just say hi. To one of the kids, say what did you could say there, Seth. Seth at the back, put your hand up, Seth. So everybody can see you. It's Seth's birthday today. Seth is 27 today. Oh, six. Sorry. I got it wrong. And he's going into fourth year at high school. Is that right? Primary two, sorry. I should listen to you better. But why do you say happy birthday to Seth this morning when you see him? Why do you go up to one of the kids and just say, I love your dress, I love your T-shirt, what you've been getting up to? Give them a high five. You know, it's simple, but we do that. We do that, and we do that as a big family when we gather together.
And we're not only just a village to raise children, we are a village for adults too. We're made for connection. And it's really struck me during this time how we need to be shoulder to shoulder, alongside one another, going through big life events. Relationships are really hard to build over Zoom, aren't they? They're really hard to keep them going, especially if that's the only time you've seen each other on Zoom. Thankful for it because we had connection. But how many of you have walked through a major life event during these last 18 months? You know, Andrew lost his mum during the pandemic, right at the beginning. And you know, the grieving and the loss would have been so much easier if we could have done that shoulder to shoulder with all you guys. If we could have grieved his mum in the room with you. So when we're in community, we can see when someone is struggling. And you can walk over to them, metaphorically put an arm around them. Outside of these, you could put an arm around them and say, how are you doing? Are you okay? And then you could pray with them. And we love that. When we're gathered, we can see how our brothers and sisters are doing. You know, grief and loss, but there's also been joy and celebrations and moments that we need to do alongside each other too. You know, there's been births, deaths, marriages, life events that are meant to be shared and celebrated together. You know, for us, our youngest daughter graduated with a first class honours degree, which is a big thing in my life because in my family, she is the first in my family line to ever go to university, never mind get a first class honours degree. So it was a big and monumentous, that's a good word, monumentous event in our lives. But, you know, there was no graduation. There was no wearing the gown. There was no throwing the hat in the air. And there was no going out for a celebration of dinner. And then our eldest daughter, she got married in lockdown where we only had a maximum of 20 people at the wedding. That's all we were allowed. And although it was a beautiful day and she was a stunning and gorgeous bride, not that I'm biased, and they had the best day. They wouldn't have changed it for the world. But we would have loved to have our family and friends celebrate that event with us too, as parents of the bride. You know, see, these crucial moments, like I said, births, deaths, are meant to be celebrated and grieved in community. We need to be together, not just for our own sake, but the sake of each other, for our brothers and sisters, and to spot how people are doing, and then just come along and walk beside them. We all need that, right?
Yeah. Number 8, there is a cost to serving Jesus and a cost to following him. Actually, Jesus served his friends. Did you know that? Jesus spent actually most of his time, if not all of his time, serving other people. So Jesus did that, and we follow Jesus, yeah? So if Jesus served others, then we have to learn to serve one another as well. And that means we serve the people we like, and we serve the people we don't like so much.
Never in this church.
Not at all. But we just learn to serve, don't we? We just learn to serve. We are servants. That is one of the names that God gives to those who follow Jesus. We are servants. We don't get to choose, we learn to just serve. And serving others is part of the journey of discipleship. You can't really call yourself a disciple of Jesus if you're not serving other people. And it'd be very easy in these past 18 months for us to have just become consumers of church. It's been easy to tune into your favorite international preacher, none of which are standing here today. Or you might think, you know what, I fancy a bit of Hillsong this morning or some other church. And that's absolutely okay. But if we're only participating with church online, it kind of lends itself to being a consumer of church rather than a participator in the church. And, you know, to some extent that's okay. We've all done it. We've all been doing it these past 18 months. But the way of Jesus is the way of service. And we serve in the context of people. Rubbing shoulders with ordinary, or in your case, extraordinary people. We can't just say we follow Jesus and then take things on our own terms. We learn to lay down our lives and our preferences. And we do that in community. And even if it's a bit inconvenient at times, we still do it because that is the way of Jesus. You know, it's an interesting fact. I've read about this, but I've also experienced it, and people I know, that when people retire from work, it can become a real point of crisis in their lives. It's like an unsettling time because their sense of purpose, that habit of contribution and of being needed, is kind of shut off, and it feels really weird. And I think that one of the reasons that lockdown hit people really hard is because it kind of went into retirement. But also, you're only truly spiritually alive when you're serving other people. You know, that was taken away from us during lockdown. You are only truly spiritually alive when you're serving other people. And when that is taken from you, something doesn't feel right. This time that we're in now is an opportunity to reset ourselves, to move away from consuming and to turn to participating and serving. And then we can do what we were made by Jesus to do by serving each other well.
And those of you bright sparks, what number are we on now? Well done. Lexi Dunn, that's my son-in-law. Anyway, Gather Church is Jesus' idea. That's the heart of it. The Bible is clear that we have to gather as God's people because it's God's idea. You look to Hebrews and that well-known verse, it says, don't give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another as you see the day approaching. You know, time and time again in Paul's letters, he'll say, when we come together, or he'll say, when you meet together. And it's in this obedience to Scripture that we are regathering as church, because God has a plan for each one of our lives. And that plan needs to be worked out in community with God's people. And community is formed as we consistently commit to being together. And that simple spiritual practice and choice of coming together to be present with one another as God's people helps us to follow Jesus and walk into all that he has for us.
Okay, that's the nine, so we're coming into land. Sounds like you're disappointed. We could go on. I'll give you another nine. Choosing to gather, committing to serve one another rather than just watching and consuming. Oh, that's come out of my pocket. That's a feather.
Oh, get off.
Interesting. Don't know if that's significant, but a feather just came out of my pocket. Anyway, choosing to gather, committing to serve one another rather than watching and consuming church. It's kind of like the difference between ordering a Deliveroo or a Just Eat and having a family meal. With Just Eat, you can have a Chinese, I can have a pizza, and we can just pick what we want from different places. You can pick what you want, I can pick what I want, and we can choose it as a time that suits us, and that's great and it's okay once in a while. But when it's a family occasion or a party or a gathering, you know, I like it when it's more like, okay, can you guys bring the drinks? Why don't you guys bring them salad? If you bring the snacks, you bring the dessert, and we'll sort out a main course. You all kind of chip in, and it's a bit of a mess, but you make it happen together because you all bring something to the table. But it's a feast together. When we do that, come together like that, you're sharing in a moment. And once you've had the feast, you also share in the tidying up and the washing up together. Coming together like that, like it's, if it's a meal or we're gathering like this in church, it's always a moment at a point in time when you share something together. And that is what the church is like. We taste and see that God is good, and we do it as a shared meal, as a moment in his presence.
So, how are we going to do it? Well, we are reminded of a prophetic word that Carol Wimber gave in 2019. If you're part of this church, you'll remember either us talking about it, or we did show it in one of our services way back when before we even knew there was a pandemic was coming. And she was interviewed by John Wright, and who's our national director of a vineyard movement here in the UK and Ireland. And she said this, something's coming. Remember, it was 2019. Something's coming that is going to affect the whole world. It's going to be really big and also really terrible. And you know, as far as we can see, she's the only one who's really people to speak out that something's coming. And she spoke it out way back in January 2019. She also said this, we're not interchangeable like tiles. We're each one of us unique like jigsaw pieces. And everyone needs to take their place. And that's how we're going to do this. Everyone needs to take their place. Do you know what it feels like? We're replanting the church. We're at the beginning of a shared adventure. And that's where all excitement is. The beginning of the shared adventure. And Jesus is saying, who's in? Are you up for this new adventure I have for you, God's saying. And the thing we're asking every single person in our church is to give Jesus their yes. We're saying, yes, God, we're all in. We don't really know what this adventure is going to look like. We have ideas, we have clues along the way that we're picking up, and we're sensing what God's saying, but we're on an adventure. I am all in. I love an adventure. I was with someone just this week, and they said they look for the adventure every day. I thought, wow, that's quite cool. Adventure every day, what would that look like? So I'm rolling up my sleeves. I am taking my place again, because that is what God wants to do with each and every one of us in this season ahead. Are you in? Are you saying yes to Jesus? Are you saying yes to being part of this church, being part of this community, being family together, helping one another along on the journey? Amen. Are you?
Amen. Amen. For sure. And you know, just as we kind of close things off this morning, what we don't want to do is kind of create some kind of rallying cry. You know, we're not really about that. We're not going to get everybody to stand up and pledge their allegiance or any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, we do it, and we could all do that and it would feel good. But actually, we do it. We say yes by what we do. We say yes by showing up. We say yes by all the things that we spoke about this morning. And we just want to encourage you just to do that, just to be present. And just to say yes to the things that are needing done. To lean on people when you're feeling weak and you're feeling, I don't know, fragile. But also being available with your strong side when people need to lean on you and to help one another. Why don't we stand as we close? Okay, someone just put a cue card up in front of me there that says falkirkvineyard.com/connect party. Okay, that's what I was going after earlier on. Okay. Guys, what we're trying to do, just a kind of practical thing going forward, is that we're committing to finishing as sharp as we can for the kids team. Okay, so we're going to get better at this. We're going to leave space for prayer and ministry together in this kind of setting. However, you are still free to pray and talk to each other and minister of each other, even when I say amen at the end of this prayer. Okay, but what I want to do right now, just pray a blessing over you guys. And again, just we thank you again for your support and your encouragement over these past 18 months. It's been absolutely vital and life-giving for us. So thank you on behalf of Lorraine and I and our leaders for all of that. So Father, I just want to ask you, Lord, would you bless your church? Father, I love that picture in Genesis where it says that your Holy Spirit hovered above the waters. And God, I just sense that you're hovering over your church right now. And Lord, that as you did in Genesis, you're at work to separate light from the darkness. And God, I just ask, would you just hover over your people in this moment? And Lord, would you draw out the light and the gold and all of these people, Lord, I'm looking at right now. God, I pray for the overlooked. I pray, Lord, for the underappreciated. I pray, Lord, for those who feel anonymous. God is saying to you this morning that I see you. God sees you. And you know, that's not a threat. These are words of love. Like a parent who gives attention to their child. God sees you. So Father, would you fill us, Lord, with your spirit? Would you build us up with encouragement? And Lord, would you unite and draw us together again as we attempt to move forward, Lord, in faith about where you're leading us. And God, we pray for our world. We pray for everything that's going on. Lord, we just want to mention Afghanistan. You know what we're praying for there, Father. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters whose lives are being destroyed because they are saying yes to Jesus. They will not disown you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for peace, Lord, and a move of your spirit in that nation, Lord, that has never been seen in this world before. We pray, Lord, for Falkirk. We love this town. We pray for Falkirk and beyond. We pray, Lord, for the region. We pray for West Lothian and Fife and Stirling and Clackmannanshire and North Lanarkshire, Lord, that are all around about us, Lord. We want to see your kingdom extended, Lord, and your word declared, Lord, over this region. We pray, Lord, for a harvest of souls, Lord, as we sow the seed of your gospel. And Lord, I pray for this church community. Lord, I pray for those that are feeling maybe disengaged or on the edge. Lord, would you let them know that they're loved? Would you let them know, Lord, they're wanted? And let them know, Lord, that they are in your plans and they're in our plans for what's ahead of us. So, Lord, just let your spirit rest, remain, and abide in each one of us now. In Jesus' name, amen.